the Tagcast podcast on the internet. Two of the all-time losers bringing you podcast death. We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. In case your tractor hits a cow, it's the Tagcast podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the Tagcast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
I'm getting made for this, boys.
The Tagcast podcast starts right now.
I had a mustache.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's episode 409 of the Tagcast podcast. I'm Gatchalapacolicos.
We're cleaning shit up. 409. I should have played the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
She's real fine, my 409.
Oh, is there a metal cover of that song out there?
There's going to be.
Yeah, there could be.
This is some Baroness. My name's Terry Guile, and it's Friday. Take my bones away. That's what you tell your girlfriend. Take my bone away. We had Jesse Priest on the show on Wednesday, and he wanted us to play some Baroness, so we figured we'd oblige him, and maybe he'd listen to Friday's show. And plus, he wants to know all there is to know about our guest today, Lance Thill. Now officially podcast regular.
Regular. Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm still waiting for my mileage check, by the way.
He's a regular, but
it's 15 cents a mile, and so far I think I'm owed about 0.5 cents.
Could you take it out and trade, possibly?
I will.
Give you 1/10 of a beer.
I'll take a quarter of a pizza box.
Okay.
Pizza Now box.
You could burn it in your backyard.
Did you know did you mention who this is?
I said it quickly. It's Baroness, yes. Baroness, Take My Bones Away from their latest release, Green and Yellow. They're pulling a Weezer. They had a blue album.
No.
Now they have a green and yellow album.
Oh, come on now.
They have a blue album.
So,
but I think their Weezer's was called the Blue Record, right?
Well, Orange Frampton, back in the day, they were going to do that. They were just going to have an orange album, and for the next subsequent albums, it was going to be a different shade of orange. Just a slightly different shade.
Like burnt umber?
A wider shade of orange.
Yeah, and so you could, like, they would all be in increasing
and the next
hue.
Could be a lighter shade of orange Frampton.
Increase of hue.
Yeah, guys, I don't know if you guys know about Baroness. They're from Savannah, Georgia.
No.
I saw them with Mastodon, and they recently, about 6 or 8 months ago, got in a bad bus crash on tour overseas, and one of their members got hurt pretty badly, and their bus driver was killed.
Wow.
Yikes.
They ran off some kind of an overpass. They crashed their bus off of an overpass down onto a underway of some sort. But, yeah. And they had a lot of people giving him support, giving him some money for his hospital bills, because most professional musicians don't have health care. So.
I listened to a band for the first time the other day, and maybe I've heard them before but just didn't remember it. That sounded the closest to Black Sabbath I had ever heard a band sound like, particularly vocally.
Are they called Chevy?
No.
Okay.
They are called Stone Jesus.
Oh, I haven't heard those guys.
Huh.
Stoned Jesus.
Well, you should have pulled that out for Hans. Have you ever heard segment?
Well, I am right now. Stone Jesus, Hans.
See, now, do you believe that Jesus used to smoke weed back in the day?
Yeah, he made it.
I believe that. You saw his beard and his long hair, man.
He smelled like a stoner. I heard he wore sandals, had dusty feet.
And to be able to believe the concept of, like, immaculate conception, something had to be going on.
Yeah, he's like, Dad, really, what happened? Mom,
why?
Really?
Why didn't? And we touched on this last episode, Lance. Why didn't Jesus do a real miracle, like turn sand to water?
Because there's a lot of desert over in the Jerusalem area.
Because that's not humanly possible, probably.
Well, he turned water to wine.
You think? He probably just made some wine. Like,
here you go.
Oh, you're saying he was a man who would stomp on some grapes?
Do you
and
think
let them ferment?
He just like. quick change that, like, oh, it was water, but now it's wine.
Do you think if Jesus lived to be, like, 60, that his capabilities would have been lessened, like ours are physically? Like, maybe he couldn't quite walk on water anymore, and he's like, damn it, I used to be able to do this.
He kept falling in.
He'd be, like, knee-deep in water.
Damn
going,
it.
Fuck. Jesus. I mean, God damn it. You think Jesus ever said, God damn it? Or did he say, Dad damn it?
He did.
Dad damn it. Hail Satan.
He probably knew his original name.
What was it?
I don't know.
Obnoxiosos.
Anuka, right?
Anuka Meblunica.
Yeah.
Sounds like a black metal band.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be able to even read it because it would just look like a big Batman-shaped bunch of roots.
A bug splattered on your windshield.
You're like, which is a band, by the way.
Right. I'm going to bust out some vocals here.
Here, you want some? That's some lo-fi.
That just sounded like Ozzy to me. You guys can check that out, though.
But do you think it sounds the closest that you've ever heard to Ozzy, like your quote?
Vocally.
Well, that's what I said, Ozzy.
Vocally.
He's not playing a guitar.
Of that era of Ozzy. Of that early Sabbath-y kind of... You know, that kind of stuff that he did.
Have you ever heard of the band Chevy?
Yeah, I used to eat there in Lebanon, too.
Chevy?
Oh, me too. That was good stuff.
Oh, Chevy.
It was. They had good burgers.
It's spelled S-H-E-A-V-E, like heavy with an S.
No, I haven't. But I remember you bringing it now. Chevy as in heavy with an S.
Yeah.
All right. Which okay, is... but have you heard of Shit?
The band Shit?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
All right.
One member of the Athearchists. And they toured with the Mentors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe they not the band I'm thinking of.
There's probably more than one band. This band has a lowercase I. The rest is all capitals.
It might be a different band that I'm thinking of, though.
You're probably thinking of Shite, which is probably a band.
From Germany.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What is this?
I'm gonna show you what I think is closer to Ozzy than... Stoned Jesus. But it'll just be mute music till we get to some all vocalizations. Right. What have we even been talking about? I forgot to write
pizza
anything
now.
Down. Hey, yeah, that was some good pizza we had. I went down to Pizza Now and talked to the owner, Chris.
Yeah.
And he forgot what day it was. And then he's like, oh, yeah, do you got an order for the TagCast? And she's like, oh, there was one order. I think it was for Jake. He's like,
Jesse?
You mean Dustin?
Jeremy?
Oh, yeah, Dustin. That's so close to Jake.
Oh, he comes here like six times a week.
It's got that hard consonant in it and everything.
Yeah.
Dustin. Your name's like Smooth Dustin all over your gatchel. Mm. And Jake is like, bam, I want a Jake all over your pain.
A snake all over your Jake.
So, yeah, I got some pizza now, and it was lovely. We went with a meat trio.
Yeah.
With pineapple, right?
Mm-hmm. You know how they got that, though, is they had a tractor with they had a cow on their tractor.
Oh, well, you know, Saturday night at the Dixie, me and Jerry were talking about and trying to explain our media campaign for the new pizza coming out called the Meteor, which is meatier than any other pizza. It's all these meats. And so,
if we can talk about that yet, can we?
We're not supposed
to? I don't know.
Ah, he won't care.
But anyway.
It's Friday. Maybe it was released by
then. So what we're going to do... is we're going to make a commercial that has dinosaurs because that's what took out the dinosaur, the meteor.
Gotcha.
So the T-Rex is going to be picking up the pizza, right? He sees all this good pizza now, and he's like,
but you know how the T-Rexes have short arms?
Like this. So he's like,
could he even eat pizza with those short arms?
So he picks up the pizza, and then he's like, he can't reach his mouth with it. He's like,
And then, like, pterodactyls coming by and taking
What happens is he finally realizes, even with his pea-sized brain, that if he turns his head sideways, he could drop the pizza in his mouth. Mm-hmm. And he just goes to drop it, and here comes a pterodactyl. Swoops the pizza right out of
That's
going to
have
mouth.
Your face imposed on it, right? Because it's a pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl. Exactly. All right, let's see if this sounds like Ozzy to
and
you.
And then Jerry Sore.
Ooh. Oh, as soon as I said it, he stopped singing. know, I like to listen to music anyway. Hope you guys are having a wonderful Friday.
TGIF.
That's right. Terry Guile was fun. Dude, this one's laughing.
No.
No?
No.
You think Stone Jesus sounds
I
more like it?
I think that sounds more like... What?
What?
That sounds more like Ozzy's going around the house talking on his reality show.
That's what it is.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the early Ozzy when you... You got some Stone Jesus on there?
I just YouTubed it.
All right, YouTube some Black Mountain.
Black Mountain?
By Stone Jesus.
Okay. My phone's kind of slow, so it might take a while. We'll have to have something.
Fine.
You'll have to give me something to talk about.
I got something to talk about.
Let's talk to our guest.
Give me something to talk about.
Now, my first question for Lance is, have you ever been in a band that did any Bonnie Raitt covers?
I have not.
Okay, good, because that song is...
Do you miss the walking in the store and seeing the Hostess packaging? Do you notice that, like, you walk by and you see what looks like generic Twinkies and you just kind of like, why would I pay for that shit?
Did you hear that Hostess was recently bought?
By Nabisco?
Yeah, but they're you know, they're still going to make them, but right now you just have those generic ones, in the space filler where they normally are.
I want the freaking cupcakes. I want the ho hos. I want the
ding dongs.
Tiger tails.
He doesn't like ding dongs.
I mean,
you don't like the ding dongs?
Nah.
What if they're frozen?
Big black ding dongs.
Do they make puss dongs? Is that a thing?
Puss dongs, yeah, but they're, you know.
Wait, now a ding dong is a
snackable.
A ding dong is a slang word for a penis, right? So they should have a slang word for a vagina. That's a treat.
Yeah.
Like a hoo-ha.
Lollipop.
Hoo-ha, yeah.
Why don't they make a Hostess hoo-has?
Yeah, lemon hoo-ha.
Well, and then you can like stick your ding-dong right in a hoo-ha.
Isn't that what a zinger
is,
though?
Yeah, they fit together and they
work.
Oh,
wait, no, a zinger's like when you stick your fingers in there, like, zinger!
It'd be like a slit-shaped donut that the ding-dong, which a ding-dong isn't even phallically shaped.
Are you a
weird
fan of the Hostess snowball?
A little bit too much coconut and marshmallow.
I used to like them when I was little, but I tried them again and not so much.
Yeah,
did you watch that Timberlake episode yet?
Which one?
The Saturday Night Live Timberlake.
I did.
Oh, man. What about that movie, She's Got a Dick, coming out? You going to go and watch that one?
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I like transsexuals. I've never met one.
That whole fucking theater, that trailer was so fucking hilarious.
Transsexuals or transgenders? All
chicks
of them?
With dicks.
Yeah.
Not on purpose, though, right?
No, they have vaginas.
Born that way.
I don't know if they have vaginas or not. They have boobs.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been able to get down in the junk area to check out whether they have. And I always wondered if they did, if they could actually go fuck themselves. If they had a vagina and a penis, but it'd have to do the bend back around.
No one, yeah, and you'd have to be erect, right?
Maybe you could stuff your.
It would have to be.
Maybe you could just stuff your flaccid penis in the pussy hole. That's weird. That's a weird thing to even say.
It is like having a rough night at the bar. Couldn't pick no one up.
I'm just gonna go home.
I'm just gonna
stuff my flaccid penis in my pussy
tonight.
Lance, do you like drooling cats?
Do I?
I think he likes any kind of cats.
Yeah, probably, but. I'd rather they didn't drool on me, but
all right.
If they're a cat, that's cool.
Did you know that some people say that a dog's penis looks like lipstick, but it's the other way around? Lipstick was created when somebody said, let's take something that looks like a dog's penis that women will smear on their lips.
That's why they made lipstick to look like dog's penises.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm to believe that happened.
Mm-hmm. We Wikipedia'd it.
Yeah?
We Googled it.
Yep.
But lipstick looks totally different. It's red.
Well, they just decided that some women just don't want dog penis shade.
Yeah.
They want a lighter shade of dog penis. Mm-hmm.
You never see any lipstick tubes that look like vaginas.
And I've seen white lipstick, which is weird. Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
It looks like they have jizz on their lips.
Yeah.
Randy Massey's girlfriend for a while there had white, we called her... I always called her white
Matilda.
Lips, but he called her cum lips.
Ah!
not to her face.
Is it just dry potato chips on there?
Not to her face.
Yeah, we talked about dipping your California potato chip into a Texas chili dog. Snacking on that.
All right.
With hot curl. This is Friday, as you can't tell. We're fucking pulling out all the stops right now.
Oh, my gosh.
I got some questions right here from Hans.
Questions from Hans?
Questions from Hans.
For Lance or just in general?
For you guys, it says. So I'm going to say it's all of us.
Yeah.
All right. This says.
Hey, Hans.
If 3.14159 ... is the number for pi.
Mm-hmm. What's the number for cake?
Bam. What is it?
Oh, wow. How'd you pull that?
I just know Hans. I know how his little troll brain thinks. Cake. The number for cake is 6.67.
I would guess 1-800-CAKE-NOW.
1-800-CAKE-NOW.
Is that a number?
That cake could be. Boss. It's the right number of numbers.
Does he
have an answer, or is that just a question?
No, that's just a question. He's got another question, too.
Hans, damn you. No more of those questions.
No stumpers.
And this one, Lance can chime in on, I think. All right, we're going to talk about who would do better in Iron Chef against Bobby Flay. All right.
How would Lance chime in on that? Does he like to watch a lot of cooking shows?
I'm actually thinking about going on Worst Cooks of America, where we've been talking about it.
He mentioned that actually to me.
I'm actually not that great of a cook, but I'm interested.
All right, this is a question. Who would do better against Chef Bobby Flay? You guys both know Bobby Flay, right?
I don't.
Bobby Flay, he's like the ginger cook.
Has he got celebrity a funny chef. Accent? No?
Nah.
No, he's a New York dude.
Naked cook?
No.
Nah. No, I don't know him.
All right, so
I just know that naked guy and the dick guy, Ramsey.
No. All right, so Lance, this is for you, I guess, as of Bobby Flay. Who would do better in Iron Chef against Bobby Flay, the star-bellied sneeches or the plain-bellied sneeches?
Yikes, that's a question?
Hans?
You know what the sneeches are, right?
I actually don't.
Aren't those pink things from the cartoons? Is that what he's going for?
Oh, that Adventure Time cartoon he watches?
Oh, that
must be. I don't even know.
Is Bobby Flay?
I don't know. I thought he was just...
Is Bobby Flay an Iron Chef?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know if he'd reach that status, because I know some
of them was one of the original American Iron Chefs.
I know some of them do, like that Zuccarian dude I know is one, but like some of them aren't, which is weird.
The Sneeches is Dr. Seuss.
Oh, okay.
The Sneeches and Other Stories.
Okay, so... I guess I would go with the Iron Chef on this one.
Some have stars on their bellies, and some of them don't.
I'll go with the Iron Chef on this one.
All right. No, which one would do better against the Iron Chef, the star-bellied sneeches or the regular sneeches? They were tolerance characters. You didn't want to be prejudiced against the star-bellied or the plain-bellied sneeches. Is the thing of the story.
So I guess the proper answer would be
neither.
Either of them would do great.
All right, there you
go. But the Iron Chef would probably win.
Yeah.
Here's a comment for Hans. Hans, I know as a constant listener of the TagCast podcast, you want us to have the top-notch quality broadcasting that you always, and questions like that just drag us down, man.
No.
Both of those questions were unanswerable.
I like Bobby Flay.
What's the number for cake? Seriously?
You don't know who that guy is?
I don't.
Super famous chef, by the way.
I don't watch.
Probably top 10 for sure.
I know that guy that eats a lot of food.
This guy?
No.
Same guy.
Oh, that was a trick question.
All right.
Oh, wait. Wait, show me.
This guy?
Bobby Flay. Dude, Bobby Flay. Dude, he got fucked up. What happened to that guy?
It's a Photoshop.
Oh. Hey, I got a question for you guys, both of you, and Hans, if you're listening. What comes to mind when you hear the term jam rag?
Oh, no.
Jam rag.
What do you think that is a term for? And it came from the early 70s in England.
It's a rag that you wipe the jar when you make jam. You wipe off the top of the jar with.
You're being nice right now, aren't you? What do you think?
Well, I'm trying to think of, like, realistically what it is.
Oh, I'm being real.
Okay. Well, it's, you know.
I've been reading the Frank Zappa book.
At first I thought of jack rag, which is something completely different, but jam rag seems to me to be what you would use to polish your instruments, your drums and guitars and stuff.
Wow, you guys are so nice. You never thought of it being a tampon?
Oh!
Yikes.
That is an English term for a tampon in the early 70s. Used by people like John Lennon and Frank Zappa.
Wow. I guess verbally it makes sense.
Jam rag. You just jam that rag right up in there.
In a pinch.
Fucking A. OGJR.
Do you think...
on the jam rag.
Do you think any woman ever in a pinch has used a Lincoln Log?
Those are not absorbent.
They're so
not. Well, they're more than non-absorbent, you know?
I'd take a rolled up sponge before I'd take it.
What if you didn't have one? You're locked in a room with only Lincoln Logs.
I just don't think a Lincoln Log is an alternative.
I'd just bleed it out.
And it's disrespectful to President Lincoln.
I mean, if you're riding a white pony, you just got to ride it out.
What about is there a euphemism for a cherry tree with the Washington in there?
I think so.
Yeah, I chopped down her cherry tree, if you know what I mean.
So you've heard that riding the white pony then? Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well then, you know that Kaya song? It says, if you're going to ride the white horse.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's talking about his woman being on the rag.
I always think of a...
Would you write a song about that?
I always think when...
I don't know.
Maybe.
When, did you? Or was that Jerry Murphy?
When Bon Jovi sings Jerry. About riding a steel horse, I'm like, why is he riding that vibrator?
Because Bon Jovi is bi.
Think so? A lot of stars are coming out as bi.
Yeah.
You know, not just women.
No?
Nope.
Well, I think it has to do with the young exposure to sexuality.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true because you got other countries that are very open with their sexuality. Do you see that going on a lot?
Well,
like
I mean
in
younger generations, like for example in Chicago, public schools are considering a proposal that would be teaching sex education in kindergarten.
I think that should be in the parents' hands at that level.
I don't think that it's going to deal with sexual orientation and bullying.
I think what you could do in that is you could probably have an avenue for parents to come in to where you could discuss with other parents maybe best ways to talk to your kids on subjects like that or how to best approach it
or five.
Whatever.
And they've already got like
not at that moment, but I mean, you just have the support of the parents of each other in conversations that could be difficult then or down the road.
They've laid
more
out a
rather than given kindergartens from teachers.
Well, they laid out a few guidelines here, like kindergarten through third grade would learn about inappropriate touching and feelings. And in the fourth grade, they would learn about puberty and HIV and the viruses that causes AIDS. Fifth grade and beyond would be instruction on reproduction and contraception and the transmission and prevention of sexually transmitted diseases. Fifth grade, you're what, 11?
Jeez, are they going to teach you how to go down or something?
Yeah, they made it look like we're going to be instructing people on reproduction and contraception. Always put a condom in your mouth before you give a blowjob, kids. I don't think that it's appropriate.
That's not good advice.
I don't think it's appropriate.
For a five-year-old or anyone.
I don't think that there is any concept that should be introduced to a child at that age. They should be thinking about...
Legos and stuff.
Yeah.
Riding white ponies?
No, like riding big wheels
white ponies when she comes.
Kicking balls.
Is that a song?
Yeah.
She'll
be
riding
six white ponies. She needed six of them.
Wow, dude.
It was a heavy flow day.
Nice. Yeah, they didn't have the heavy. That's why they created the heavy flow was for, what's her name?
Flo?
Susanna, wasn't it?
Oh, Flo Susanna.
Susanna's who's coming, right?
Yeah.
She'll be coming around.
No, that's a different song. Okay. You're thinking of Oh Susanna, won't you travel with me?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out which one was.
No, she'll be with a banjo on her knee.
Uh-huh, but who
and
was
a
it?
Tampon in her butt.
But who was it?
Who? It didn't have a name in.
Why would it be in her butt?
Man, it was bleeding.
How's the song start, though?
What?
How's
she'll be riding six white horses.
That's how the song starts?
No,
it starts on the chorus?
No, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes.
Oh.
She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes.
Doo, doo.
She'll be coming around the mountain, coming around the mountain, coming around the mountain, coming around the mountain when she comes.
That's because it's so rocky when you're on your bike, you know?
And it's making her have an orgasm.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
I think back then they were on horses, white horses.
Still, same applies, right?
I guess so. What? So, yeah.
Isn't it weird that chicks always want ponies at such a young age?
And then they still want them when they're old.
I know, but for different reasons.
I don't know of many chicks that don't like horse riding. It's very popular.
Yeah.
We had a horse rider in the studio last week.
Yeah.
She rode horses as a small child, and I forgot to ask her, maybe she'll be listening, if she accidentally got her hymen broken while she was riding a horse, because that happens to a lot of horse riding young ladies.
I had a girlfriend that happened to in high school. She was a catcher on a softball team.
Yeah, and she got her hymen broke with a softball?
Playing sports.
Wow. Well, she slid into home?
I don't know what she did. How did she took a softball to the groin.
Popped my cherry.
How did she know I was broke?
little blood.
Little mirror.
I have no clue.
And then she felt up there with a finger and like, oh, that little piece of skin is broken.
Stuff's totally different now. This is weird.
We have some weird subjects today on Friday. That always happens when Lance is in the studio.
Dude, I got some serious questions for you, Lance.
All
right. Oh, shit.
All right. Tell me about the origins of victims. Let's take this from the beginning. And I'm going to try to jog your memory because I know it might not be like easy for you to pinpoint. So are we going to go, was there origins pre-graduation from high school? What were you guys doing anything then related to getting towards the beginning of victims?
Well, at that point, it was me, Pat Wambacher, and Ron Ferris, and a couple other dudes. Having a hard time remembering their names, but and we would.
Are they on the tape?
No, we would like do air bands.
Uh huh. Oh, like, competitions.
Yeah, so like we got that feel for the rock. Like, ooh, we had the crowd. We like.
Played, I did that before I was.
We
in
played
a band.
School dances and stuff, and like.
So what kind of songs were you air guitaring to?
Oh, geez. At that point, it was out of control. We would do like Lizzie Borden and Armored Saint, like in the mid '80s.
Like even Scorpions, maybe, or is that too tame for you guys?
We did Judas Priest, Green Man Alicia one time.
Nice.
For air rock?
Yeah. We did Sabotage Warriors, because we went to Lebanon Union High School, Warriors, so we thought that was cool. But
We did two different, I was in two different air rock bands in the same competition. Yep. That was a band.
Just right across, down the road, right?
Yeah. And we were Rat. And then I came back a couple bands later after someone did Madonna and someone else did something. Someone did Madonna for air rock.
Yikes.
Just got up there and dressed like Madonna and sung some stupid song.
And wore those gloves.
Yeah. And then we came back and did Scorpions.
Nice.
Nice.
And I can't remember what Rat songs. We did I'm Insane by Rat, which was one of the faster, most
That's a deep
rocking,
cut by now.
For sure. But, of course, then we did Lack of Communication and
sweet.
Round and Round. Or, no, maybe we did Back for More.
Maybe did You Think You're Tough.
I think we did Back for More. And then
Back
we did probably Rocky Like a Hurricane or something stupid by the Scorpions.
Did you do Yabba Dabba Dabba Doo?
But it sucked because the school's music.
That's Scorpions, dude. Here I am, Rocky Like a Hurricane. Yabba Dabba Dabba Doo.
Oh, that's a guest vocal by Fred Flintstone.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah. But I think the school's music system was so weak that you could like hear us jumping around on the stage. Mm. It wasn't very good, but
I went to a karaoke at the Strawberry Festival one time, and we were gonna do "We Will Rock You," and we had a bunch of people up there, and we were all gonna. There's gonna be a couple of singers, and then everybody was gonna clap and stomp or whatever. And we got up there, and he goes, "You can't clap and stomp because it'll make the CD skip."
Oh no!
So everybody just stood up there while we sang.
We couldn't have played it on a cassette.
I don't know. So, okay, so you guys were air banding, and so air that banding. Led you guys.
And then we went to a couple of us, you know, as we got older, we were 18, and we moved out, and I live with Brian Dew and a couple old friends, Aaron Baird and Dane Bruce, R.I.P., my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Dane on the first album as well.
And Jerry Murphy also. We'd sit around and drink Oceans of Old Milwaukee, and we would
rest in peace, Old Mill.
We would make up songs. We would make up images. We'd create this.
You guys had the creative juices flowing.
We'd just sit there and do it all night, all night, all night. And then one day, Dane had his guitar, and Aaron had his bass, and, like, my stepbrother had a microphone, so I went over and got it from him, and it was such a shitty microphone that when we finally got it back, I didn't have a PA. I would plug it into the bass amp and have to go into the closet to sing because it fed back so bad. And then we just tried to bash out these songs, you know.
With no drums?
Yeah, these primitive songs with no drums, you know.
So is that when Pat Wambacher had wandered up to the big city to play for Savior?
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys didn't?
Pat was Savior at the time. When did he join that? Was he still in high school?
It was post-high school.
It was 87, probably.
He was kind of our inspiration because he was like local guy gone huge with his Camaro and his hair and like...
Camaro.
It's like, oh, God.
And his Camaro hair.
Yeah, he was like a...
He had Camaro hair.
Yeah, yeah. Camaro hair. Yeah. Is that a band name?
It is. It is.
It should be.
It is.
It's not.
It is.
So, all right. Then you guys began writing songs. How many songs did you guys write?
Pre-drum.
Probably 15.
So you guys are really gung-ho. I mean, like, you guys are making stuff happen.
So much.
You know, just waiting for a drummer at the time, right? And you guys were friends with Pat.
Yeah.
And you got but he was in the big-time band.
Yeah, he was kind of the big-time, and we were kind of like the local.
So how did you wrangle him to come back down to earth to his friends to come back to you guys?
He got booted.
Yeah.
He
found himself available, and
he goes, "Well, I guess I'll play with you guys."
Yeah. All right,
it was kind of a mess, though.
When was it kind of like one of those kind of shystery things?
I think didn't they get like their old drummer?
The old guy came
back.
And that's happened to me before. It happened.
Yeah, that happened.
He had to drive to Portland like all the time, so
yeah. Well, that's what I would imagine that would probably factor in, you know. But Pat loves to drive.
Yeah,
which
and
is true.
And he always has. You know, he probably would have drove to New York back in those days.
But
just
think, little things that happen affect fate in such ways. If Pat Wambacher wouldn't have got kicked out of Victims, I mean kicked out of Savior, he might not have came back and played the Void, and they would have been a totally different monster.
Yeah, yeah.
They might have had...
We would have found someone eventually, because we were on the hunt.
Yeah, you would have found, like, Carl... Malone.
Weathers.
Carl Richland. Richmond.
Carl Weathers.
What's his name? A guy named Carl Richmond?
Yeah, I think so.
And then he changed his name to Carl Malone. Because he liked the Utah Jazz, I guess? And that guy's black, though, and he's white, and he didn't even deliver the mail.
And he lives in the Mormon community.
Yeah.
So, okay, then do you have any questions about that era, Terry? Because I don't know if you ever, like, really delved into
I've learned
beginnings.
A lot just by listening to the answers to the questions that you asked. I don't really know much of the history until I kind of came into it. So,
yeah, so we're still talking about, this is probably 88, right?
You should have heard our songs when Pat first got there, like, because, Terry, you both know me pretty well, you know, my sense of timing probably isn't that perfect.
Yeah,
like, our songs were so mistimed.
Lyrics and stuff, and, you know.
Well, you guys were all just learning your instruments.
Our songs were so mistimed.
My point, too, is,
Pat
like...
Had such a hard time.
You know, I mean, kids today...
And at that
and
point,
especially, you know, in the involvement of, like, the charity that we got going on, like, it shouldn't be intimidating for kids to, like, try this stuff out, because that's how we all started, was not really... You know, knowing too much, but having the passion to go towards music.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's a trial and error type of thing just to get going. You got, you know, you stick with it and you know, it's always something that you learn throughout your entire lifetime. You know, you never stop learning.
So I guess my question would be for that era is, did you guys have the name and the concept in place for the band before Pat came in?
Yeah, totally.
So, and was it you that came up with the acronym, or was that Murphy or Dane?
I think it was a collection, because we wanted to be like DRI and have that like dot dot dot. Or
but
whatever.
You wanted to be Void for sure.
So
you just were trying to think.
And
of
we just
something.
Thought it was so clever to like have little things.
Yeah.
But, like, it's totally so normal now, but we just thought we were so clever.
Yeah.
And we didn't even know of like that other Void, which is like world renowned, like, and respected, and like. It's so funny.
Yeah, well, back
had
then
you couldn't
Google a name and say, oh, that's already a band.
Yeah.
You just have to say, I've never heard of a band called Void. It must be
Jerry's, I saw inside the album cover artwork, his graphic design thing was Violent Order of Idiotic Designs.
Yeah.
And so did that come before, and you guys kind of took off of that, or?
No, I'm sure he took that.
It was just kind of a piggyback, because, like...
You guys are all working together.
Yeah, we had the band, he had the designs, like, He created all the early images and even wrote a couple lyrics early on.
He said, I'm pretty sure that he said this the other night, if I remember correctly, that he wrote Get a Grip, the lyrics,
yeah,
and
totally.
That he wanted to call it something else.
Yeah.
Well, that was his nickname, right? Jerry Get a Grip Murphy. I saw that in the thing, too.
Yeah?
Really?
I saw that in the cover.
Oh, that must be because he wrote that song. Maybe they called him, giving him a shout-out in the thanks list or something.
All right.
Crazy.
He was the sixth.
Coaster ride.
Yeah, he goes, those lyrics were pretty good.
Yeah.
Being sarcastic, of course, but...
Yeah. So, describe this stick man, because we were discussing this earlier, and I don't really know.
We were wondering if he was doing a hip thrust on the side.
Yeah, no, we don't know what the movement lines are, and maybe Jerry, he can chime in on this somehow, and...
That, like, up you thing.
Yeah, I got the up you, and you called him Stixes Man, or...
Stick it, man.
Stick it, man. Oh, because stick it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then, I don't understand, like, the motion things on the side.
I wonder if that was some sort of...
shaking.
I'm pretty sure it was some sort of just DRI ripoff, to tell you the truth.
Oh, was it? Okay, so it was, like, a motion thing, like, he was all...
Yeah, he was gonna tell you to F off and still get in the pit.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, we that was one of our popular images for a while, actually.
Right on. You guys should bring that back on a sticker, and maybe we have a sticker campaign of Stick Man.
Yep.
That's on you, Jerry. That's
if you're even listening.
Yeah, and so you guys were, the original name, the Violent Order of Idiotic Dudes, right? Where did that come from? Was that just like...
It was just kind of who we were.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure Dane came up with that, if I remember right.
You weren't
right.
Violent, though.
Violent when we would, like...
You violently drank beer.
Yeah, but we would also, like...
It partied violently.
Yeah, we would mosh in the living room and break shit all the time.
Couch
chairs,
guys.
Yeah. Just break everything.
You're not violent towards others. You're just
violently
had a good time
but
with
we,
each other.
We broke so much stuff and were so disrespectful.
Like, that was after the good, friendly, violent fun had came out.
Okay.
I think Toxic Waltz was out around them. So that good kind of violence.
Yeah.
We would do it all the time. We broke. All
right. And you guys were...
Everything we had was broke.
You guys were in order, so did you have ranks? Did you guys have, like...
Lance was the corporal.
Yeah. Did you go, hey, Sarge, what's up?
General Rock.
No.
You're just a private right now. Did you guys have privates in the ranks?
Yeah.
No.
Like, just like...
I think it was just because it was an O.
Billy Rowley was probably a private back in his time.
He ranked up pretty well, actually.
All right. And so, you guys had that name when you guys released the first demo, right?
Yes.
Now, was that demo called Demo Crazy, or was it called Shred 89?
It was both.
Oh!
It was called Demo Crazy, : Demo Shred 89.
We were so proud of that name, too, and it's just not that cool.
Well, it's like Democracy, but it's crazy.
Yeah.
And
it's a demo. It's a crazy demo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just never really took.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have called it Void, the crazy demo.
Yeah. Do you have thoughts looking back on that album in those times of maybe like in the studio? Where did you guys record this at? In a studio or someone's room, maybe called the studio?
We recorded up in Salem. With the Whirlies, that band that we've had a long history with.
Yeah.
Cam and Mike Jones and Von Berger. And it wasn't, I wasn't with you guys, but wasn't it like an upstairs?
It was above a flower shop, a rental flower shop.
Right. But it was pretty much a makeshift studio.
Yeah,
right?
it was pretty makeshift. I mean, they had like a separate room, but it was just one room and that was all.
But that had to be pretty exciting for you guys, though. First time in there.
We were
to see
excited.
Like. You know, you guys had written these songs, and I guess we kind of skipped past the Pat coming into the thing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
he
things
came
really
back down.
Well, things really just took hold when he came in.
Yeah, and he added a little structure to your, what you guys had going on, right?
Yeah.
You know, and...
Written in blood, we got to lock the shit down.
All right.
You stink, you suck, is in the can. We got
five
more songs. No, six more.
That's cool.
No, one of the main things I remember is, at that point, I had never... done the whole vocal sing by yourself thing.
And isolated in the studio.
Terrified. They had to, like, I tried a couple times and it didn't sound good and they had to kind of talk me,
coach you through
it
a little bit
or whatever.
But that's what they're there for, right?
And then finally I knocked it out, but like, I was terrified, man. Like, singing by yourself with headphones, like, I kept having to, like, if I got them to turn it up loud, then I was able to do the sound. But otherwise, like, the sound just didn't come. And, like, years later, like, now I can just do my bear sound at any point, and I don't even care. Like, I could sing a Pop-Tart song or whatever, and it don't matter. But, like, back then, like, I just wasn't...
Is that a new Griefhammer song?
Yeah, we got a new song called Pop-Tart.
I'm gonna eat me a Pop-Tart or six.
Yeah, but back then, like, I was just so... I mean,
see, you didn't know the fact that you could always record over it.
No, I didn't back then. I was like, I was so terrified.
How many shows had you guys played before you recorded that? Before you went into the studio with that?
That's a good question.
Like maybe an estimate. You know, is it three? Was it a dozen?
Or it might even have been zero.
Yeah, really? I think they had the demos out at the first show I saw.
I think it was zero.
So you were at their first show?
No, the first show I saw was not their first
show.
Okay.
Do you recall the first show, Lance?
Yeah, we played with Coffin Break, which I still love to this day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I see their...
It was at the top of the...
Around.
It was at the Peacock, top of the cock.
Wow.
A couple punk bands, and like we were like a weird Lebanon thrashcore band that just kind of wasn't that cool.
See? Thrashcore. That's what I said.
All right.
He asked me what genre, and I said thrashcore, and he said death metal, and I'm like, no, they weren't death metal.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't, but I didn't know what you guys would, you know, punk, hardcore,
and
punky kind of.
It was
of
the
thing.
Classic first show where we had, like, probably 100 of our friends there, and, like, most
That's
of them
awesome.
Left after we left. I still have video of it to this day, and it's a pretty cool video,
I
gotta tell you.
By the
and
way.
Moser was
cool
in the
video.
Band that
yeah,
point,
yeah.
Right? Yeah,
yeah.
It's
Jason
pretty
Moser.
Cool.
So when did he came in before the show, before the demo, too?
Yeah, he replaced Matt Mason.
Now, see, yeah, so,
dude.
Like, I was jamming with Scott Poorman out at Shed. And Jason Moser had brought Jason Rowe out there, and we had been jamming, and he was 14, just learned how to play the bass, and he was fucking killing it, as he does on just about every instrument he picks up. So,
yes, sir.
Oh, flute? Okay, I'll play that. And then, like, so Jason was jamming with us, and it was like, he was pretty much a bass player at that time. And so when he wasn't there, Rowe would come out and jam, and then Jason's like, well, I've been jamming on guitar with this thrash band from Lebanon. They're called Void. He's like, you just come out and check them out sometime. And I was dating Trina at the time, and she was friends with Pat Wambacher from back in the day when he worked at Awful Brothers. And
now, is that Trina as in like Trina or
no, like
Trina?
Katrina.
Okay.
Like a hurricane.
Wow, I never realized.
She is a Katrina.
I never realized Trina was short for Katrina.
She's a Katrina. Katrina Smith. She's on my Facebook.
Okay.
She lives in Albany here. Sometimes she listens to the show. She said that her kids started listening to it for a while.
Oh, nice.
Even though it was a pretty shady
pretty
kid content. But she thinks that she said that her kids think that we're hilarious.
Thank you.
So that's awesome. But yeah, that's when I first heard of Void, and I didn't realize at that point. I didn't know who they were. And so how did you guys meet? Did Jason go to school with you guys? Or did he just come along later?
God, good question. How did we meet him?
Through Frogger, maybe?
I think he was just one of the dudes around in the scene. The London scene.
Because he had just came to town from California.
Yeah. And he was so California and
so
professional.
Dude.
We're like, it's so metal. It was like, it felt like it gave us a little more like...
Cred.
Metal cred. Because we were just freaking all over the place. Lebanon squinches that didn't know what to do with themselves.
Squinches,
now,
that's coming back.
Who was Frogger?
Jeff Gilbert, Ed Shred.
Yeah, Ed Shred.
Okay. I wanted to make that connection.
Everybody
out
called
there.
Him Frogger. His
Back
name
in the
was
day.
Jeff Gilbert, and now he is
was
Ed
he,
Shred.
Was he nerdy?
No, not at all.
He was
a metal guy, dude.
He was
totally
metal guy, local legend, like
long hair, Yngwie Malmsteen style.
None of us had the he was always one of those crosstown people that, like, we didn't have the chops like that. And
right.
It was like, oh.
He was an accomplished musician, studied and played very well. Yeah. And then he moved to the big city up to Seattle. He was writing for The Rocket for a while. And he actually wrote that review that we found when we were in Seattle in Guitar World magazine.
I still got copies of that.
Yeah, and it was Jeff Gilbert.
You guys had a write-up in... Guitar World magazine?
A review of our
the
CD. And he kind of, it sounded to me like he didn't really listen to it, like he more read the liner notes. Because he said in their thanks list, they say, Queensryche still fucking blows. And then
such
they said,
a hoot or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Said, what a hoot. And then he said, mentioned something about a Black Sabbath cover. It wasn't a bad review, but it was just kind of cool to see it
in
there.
He probably had a stack of CDs and wanted to give a shout out to local.
It had ZZ Top on the cover.
listen like 40 seconds and then pass by.
I might
by.
Even have that issue.
Once the Jeez. Vocals kick in, stop.
Yeah. Whoa. What's like, going yikes. On right there?
So
yeah, Jason came in, and then you guys went in the studio, and did you have your demos for sale at the first show?
Yeah, yeah.
Where is the first show located at?
The Peacock.
The Peacock.
And then sorry.
Did you guys play the Kuhn before or after that? I mean, not before, but I mean, you played after the Peacock again.
We started booking local venues, like we would do the Lebanon Armory, we would do the Corvallis Armory, we would do the Kuhn Theater. And one time our lights burnt the screen.
Oh, shit.
I know.
I bet you guys got in trouble for
that. Yeah, we got in quite a bit of trouble for that.
Let's see. By the time I had seen you guys, you already had Hans.
How many demos did you press, copies of that demo did you press?
I think the first one was only 100. But I remember being so excited. Me and Pat drove up to Portland, and they had, like, the sticker on it and stuff. And it was like, you had to get them duped back then, like, at a professional place.
Yeah.
With a sticker on it. Yeah. That's so funny.
And you had to make your own J cards and stuff yourself and all that.
We picked that scary font. We were so metal.
So Hans was in this crew at that point, right? Because there was a shout out to him in that first liner note, right?
Because him and Ron and Pat would play, like, more metal songs, which probably was, like, the early genesis of Victims, really, over at the
they were writing Awful riffs Brothers. And stuff
at Awful
for you
Brothers,
guys too,
yeah.
right, in the collective.
And
you guys
were
like a music collective. You guys are like Orange Frampton.
They'd play like Slayer, Black Magic, and we'd play like these weird songs about beer and girls. And then eventually we made it all come together.
Nice.
With the right personnel.
And I guess Jason left to form Insanity, right?
Yeah.
And
with Ron? Him and Ron were like, let's form Insanity?
I think because he recruited Ron because
they were taking a lot of acid. Is that what was going on?
No.
What? How did the Insanity come in?
That's just something metal, I think.
Okay.
Just a metal name, and there was another Insanity band too, just like Void from the mid-80s that Napalm Death covered later because they're like a seminal thrash band that we didn't know about because we didn't have the internet or any good magazines to tell us about underground bands, but. I think he just got Ron because Ron was available because I was at the point playing bass for Void when Insanity started, I think.
So you'd moved in on bass.
Because they didn't have a bass player for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Hans and Dane. I actually saw them.
Hans and Dane were the guitarists in the band.
Yeah.
Did you see us at that Corvallis place?
So how did Hans come in?
I saw you guys when you played the Screeching Weasel.
Screeching Weasel,
Top
okay.
of the Cock okay. also. But that wasn't the first show. And then I saw you at the Kuhn with Insanity, but Aaron Baird stayed on for the show or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he quit right after. That was his last show. And that's when my sister was partying with Eric Parks.
It's still about 89?
Yeah.
All right.
It was like April of 89, I think, was the first time I saw him.
Oh, so it was an early release of your guys' album then, right? Like January or February. Or
yeah.
Probably
yeah.
came out
just early on.
Yeah. And then she had said, oh, my brother plays guitar and listens to the same kind of stuff. And she kind of turned us on, I guess. I think I had met Pat through Trina at Awful Brothers. And they're like, he plays drums. He plays guitar. Oh, cool. Nice to meet you. And
that was right after George Bush Sr. got elected into office, right? And so...
I don't know.
No, that's playing into...
I wasn't thinking about that at the time.
No, the demo crazy. Because you had the democracy, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, we were trying to be pseudo-political. We had one political song on there.
Yeah, and it was topical at the time, I guess, is what my tangent was. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. I didn't know if it was a more political thing or if it was just like a mix on words of demo, crazy, and
that's
democracy.
More what it was like.
Yeah.
Trying to be.
So
political.
how did Hans enter in again? You had Jason left with Ron.
Well, Ron wasn't in the band.
No, sorry. But he left with Ron out of the collective because you guys were writing songs and stuff together. So they went to split their own band. And Hans was hanging around.
They
and
just
he
wanted
just
it on the pie because there was like
he wanted in
we were having shows and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
He wanted into what? Wait a minute. You're saying you guys were getting shows, so Hans wanted a piece of that action.
Oh, not Hans. I was talking about
Jason.
Wilker.
Wanted a piece of the.
That's why okay.
I think he informed Insanity just because
he's like, man, I could form a better band than that.
He had his own vision.
Oh. Yeah.
Like,
all right. So yeah,
and that makes sense though.
Yeah, that's
he was more of
that.
A leader than just a band member.
And, yeah, it all worked out.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then Hans kind of he just kept on playing with you guys, and from that point on, kind of a thing, because he was around and writing riffs for you guys, kind of a thing.
I think he had just jammed with Pat in the previous, and so Pat knew him as a guitarist who wasn't in a band at the time.
And
so
then
they
bam.
Said, yeah, bam.
Come on in and let's rock it on.
Yeah.
Wow. Rock it on.
And then Aaron quit.
Yeah.
Right after that.
All right. And then that's when you...
Came in on bass with the eventual promise of moving to guitar.
Uh-huh. Now, who promised you that?
Pat.
Pat promised you that.
He came through with that promise
as
a birthday gift to me, actually, eight months later.
Wait, before we get to that.
Or
so,
4 months later.
So there was a negotiation point where Pat came to you and asked you to be in the band.
Well, no, I contacted them after my sister told me about them, and we kind of met, and she said he plays guitar, but he can play bass too. And he just wants to be in a band. It's kind of that thing like, oh, they got shows and stuff. I want to get out on the pie.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
You know, well, I didn't have anything. I was jamming with Farmer Tape Nose in the car wash as a two-piece, you know, playing Anthrax and
Metallica songs. The Tape Nose Stripes.
Well, the underlying thing was that we really knew where we wanted to go, and we had some super, super tough decisions ahead of us on what to do, which is probably one of the hardest things in my whole life that had to happen.
Right, because you guys were...
To make that happen.
You guys had a vision of going forward in a certain direction, and a certain band member had a different idea or maybe wasn't capable.
Different skill set.
Exactly.
Like, just different mindset. I mean, it's no disrespect.
It was nothing personal, but it's going to be something that's hard when it's someone who's there from the beginning.
Especially a good friend.
It is, you know, and you know, a lot of bands face those type of decisions,
it was tough, you know,
and...
It cost me his friendship for so many years, and then about a year or so before he passed, like, we reconnected and we started hanging out again, and, like, it made it pretty cool, but, like, you know, I still...
Yeah, I didn't see him for years,
man.
Too, and then he ended up showing up. He ended up showing up at a Sullen gig at the first round, and he had short hair at that point, and I hadn't seen him for years, and he was kind of standing in the front, and he's all... Terry, because you know how I used to always talk like that, and I was like, Dane, oh my god, and I talked to him, you know, and it was cool to see him, and it was like there was no animosity or hard feelings at all that we even had to speak about. We're just like, what have you been doing, man, blah blah blah, good to see you still rocking.
It was cool before he passed too, like we had talked, we were going to get together and make some music, and like he even gave me like a song that I still have to this day that he said that like I could record and stuff, and like it was weird because it actually, as time went on, I kind of understood where he was coming from musically, and it almost weirdly sounded John Lennon-ish.
Yeah.
Like his vocals and stuff. Yeah. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, everyone has their own thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's cool. No disrespect.
I hung out with Dane over at your place a couple times, Lance, back when you lived down by the river.
In the van? In the van by the river? Is that what you're talking about?
It was a place as big as a few vans.
A couple
to
vans.
Next to place of a few vans. But I remember frying with him over there one time. I don't know if you were frying with us or you might have been. We were all just partying and stuff at your place.
I didn't ever do that stuff.
But we were fixated on, it was the first time that I'd seen Jay Leno with that little, remember when he just put the first little gray patch on his hair? And we were having the greatest time wondering if it was just his hairdresser had played a gag on him that day. Like,
didn't tell him?
Yeah, like, why would you even do that? And now it's like, now it's gray with the black patch there.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
It is.
It's like a negative image.
I'm the opposite.
Yeah, man. It was great fond memory.
When I did join the band, though, Pat kind of did use that. I would have joined either way, but he's like, here's
the
deal.
Yeah, but he recognized
like,
that you wanted to play guitar.
He's like, we need to find a good way to do this and find the right time to do this, and now is not the right time or a good way to do it. So he said, if you play bass, then you can come in and play some shows, and then by the time we're ready to do what we need to do, which is
Jism
be
head
hard,
shirt, chilling.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, you play a few shows on the bass, and then you'll know the songs. And it was kind of like, don't tell him, but... You know, and it kind of sucked, but I was happy. It was my birthday when he came over, and he's like, guess what, buddy? I got a birthday present for you. And I was like, what? And he's like, I kicked Dane out today. I was like, really? He goes, well, last night, actually. Yeah. He goes, and man,
Pat always
tough.
Did the dirty
it
work.
It was so
man.
Tough. He had to call him on the phone
he
and
did
say,
the
you
dirty
know
work
what? And he's like,
time.
So what are you saying? And he goes, and it was kind of like emotional.
He had,
and
but
like
he was
weird
the newest member almost at the time, right? Other than like Hans, I guess, right?
Yeah, Hans was new.
Pat had probably been in there for a while.
Hans and I were the new guys. So it was Pat, Lance, and Dane were the core of the band. And he said it was probably almost tears on both sides, you know. And he was like,
imagine it would be.
And then it goes.
On both
he
sides,
said it
man.
Even went through different stages of, you know, like. First he was like, what? Really, dude? Are you serious? And then it was like, well, what? Like, and then he's mad. And then it's like, oh, what do you get? Who are you guys going to get? He's like, well, we got some people we're checking out. He's like, you guys going to get Terry on guitar? And he's like, well, maybe. We're not really sure. You know, he didn't want to just say we got him so he could take your place. And and then they also probably had the master plan of acquiring Ron after the bass.
Yeah, that was because we used to play with him. Even way back in the day, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was childhood growing up, you know, dude, right?
Yep, and then after that, I don't know.
So
jailed after that.
And then you guys started really getting your focus down at that point, right?
Yeah, and Dane was on the second demo as well, Terminal Happenings. Mm-hmm. I was still playing bass at that point.
All right. So, yeah, that was 1990, so that was the next year. So how long after you guys did, from the time you were in the studio with Demo Shred... Demo Crazy to Terminal Happenings. When was that in the studio? Was that like a year?
I think so.
All right.
It might have been more than a year if they did it early in 89, because if they had the cassettes ready at their first show.
Mm-hmm. I really thought Terminal Happenings was going to break us, too, because we had some freaking rocking songs on
people
there,
people really like that demo, though. The old
but now as I listen back, the production is just ridiculous.
Oh, it is. It's rough.
But the songs
we did have
decent.
The cassettes with the print on the cassette.
Yeah,
no sticker.
and that was cool because I think I must have been in the band. I was still just a couple months or something. Before we went into the studio, and they had moved their studio from above a flower shop to an actual studio, Western Oregon Sound Recordings. I don't know if they were leasing
that. So could you, did you have any samples of flower pots breaking?
No. On the first album? No, it probably didn't.
All right, you guys, so how many albums of Terminal Happenings did you guys have pressed?
I think 100.
100?
Yeah, I want to say 100.
How long did it take to sell them all?
We probably had some left when we got Dead Fish White done. There wasn't really an outlet to like sell them online or anything. So
you sold them at shows.
It was
friends.
It was pre cassette trading too. Like before when during Victims when we got into cassette trading around the world.
Yeah.
So it was pre that, but I think I even still have one left in the shrink wrap somewhere.
I bought one for a quarter up in Portland at an arcade one time, still in the shrink wrap.
Awesome. Oh. Still got it.
Bargain.
I think I gave it to somebody.
What?
I think it was one of you guys. I don't remember what happened. Oh, well. I might still have it.
And I was listening to Dead Fish White because Jared burned me the CD and I hadn't heard it forever. I'd heard a few songs that Lance had put on hit package.
There's so many follies on that. Yeah.
Dude, and there's so many flub ups too. Like parts where like I did a ooh, and it's just like wasn't that tight. Like, we could have just done it over real quick. And even
and Hans is extra death metal on that, too. You notice? It's like, and we're like, wah!
And he's like, I think it was
Decomposure?
Decomposure. Yeah. Is that the one where one of us, I don't even remember who it was, went like a macabre scream?
Yeah.
At the beginning?
I thought that sounded cool, actually.
Was that me that did that? Or was that Hans?
I think so.
And who did all the vocals on Gilligan's Island?
Was that an early Pterodactyl speech?
Oh, Gilligan's Island. We had
Dave Wambacher said...
Dave Wambacher was...
and his ho! Or
no,
was that John Edelman?
That was John Edelman, yeah.
Did Ron do a line on that, too?
Yeah, he did, actually.
The Millionaire... Or Hans said, the Portal Star.
Yeah.
I was trying to pick out everybody that did it.
No, they're all there. I could go through them if you want.
Maybe
to,
Mike
sing
did
it or whatever.
Did one of the guys do? Well, it said the first one was.
I know. Didn't Cam do one? Mike did one. Jeff Simpson did one. Dave Wambacher did one. Ron did one.
Dave did Gilligan.
That was Jeff Simpson.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the skipper too. Who was that?
John Edelman did. And his Oh, and the skipper too.
That might have been Dave.
Did the millionaire.
That was Edelman, wasn't it? Did I already say John
Edelman?
Yeah,
you said he did and his hoe.
And his hoe. Oh, okay.
And it,
no,
wha-
millionaire.
Maybe that was Hong.
That was Dave Wambacher. Okay. Millionaire. Yeah.
Okay.
Millionaire.
And his hoe. Wah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then
Hong
is all, the porno star.
Oh, yeah. And then
Professor
Ron.
N.
That was Ron right there.
Marion.
Yeah, I think that was.
Like Cam or Mike or something like that. Yeah. It was so many different sounds. You could just tell that it was that many different people. It was pretty fun, though.
And you notice how bad my timing was when I first came in on that part, too? I was
That song, and there was a couple others where we just missed vocal cues.
Couldn't hit it.
And there was a couple guitar parts that
didn't
we
have the chops to hit it.
Well, we can't go back and fix that real quick. Yeah. Why didn't we even think of that?
I know, I'm sure we
sounds good. Look, it's in the can.
How many shows did you guys do in that period between the first demo and the second demo? I mean, so, you say you released the first
as
one,
many as
and then
possible.
And then
maybe
you,
10
you
to
know,
20.
Yeah. 10 to 20. You guys were playing maybe every other weekend or something.
Maybe once a month.
And we'd also just play at the house and stuff, too.
Like, all right, just be a party band. You know, people would come over. You guys would practice.
We used to practice
play.
Like 3 to 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah.
It's crazy.
See, that's what
we
it
had
takes.
Some discipline. Or nothing else to do and a passion to rock.
Yeah,
and
well,
drink
that's
a lot of
you
beer.
Know, that's the advantage of being young.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
And, all right. I think, and then we'll stop at, like, Terminal Hat. Maybe we'll pick this up again sometime.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we've already went through. Yeah, Jared can maybe pick up from 1992, and we'll go through the rest of the questions up until 96, because we're already over an hour here, aren't we? And we haven't even got to some of our segments. I can't forget about our constant listener, Hansi.
I'm not worried about time, really.
Arthur Hansi.
People don't want to listen past this, then don't listen past this.
Well, that's true. That's true.
You know, I mean, if you can't stop it and start it later or whatever, I mean.
That sounds like a butt rock song.
If you can't
stop it,
start
it later.
Then you fucking go fuck a potato.
Hot potato.
I don't even know.
Miss Potato.
Don't we need, like, celebrities stuff?
Yeah, and we got
stuff?
This part, too. Yeah. Good call. I wish sometime he would say he was listening to Slayer.
What's in Hans's CD player? It's always something cool.
But it's never fucking Slayer.
Because you know it's a player.
Hans is a player, but he never listened to Slayer. But he was listening to Fantomas.
Is he a record player?
Fantomas. No, he's a CD player.
Oh, okay.
He plays CDs.
Has he ever been
an MP3 streamer?
Have you ever been a Laserdisc player? Was Hans ever into the Laserdiscs?
I don't believe so.
Well, I'm asking him. I'm asking him. And who was that band I was going to mention to him earlier?
Stone Jesus.
Stone Jesus.
You
and
weren't
going to.
You already did.
And I'm going to ask Hans. I'm going to tell him to look up Black Mountain by Stone Jesus. All right. And what's that song of yours?
Oh, he knows all of Chevy's catalog.
All right. And the song by Chevy. Which one are you laying down as the example? Which one?
I don't know the name of it. It's from,
all right, well, he knows it.
It's from Celestial Hi-Fi.
Okay, I want him to listen to Stone Jesus, Black Mountain.
And see if you think it sounds more like Ozzy than the guy from Chevy.
Yeah, settle our argument for us.
See, now,
and
Hans,
set your bias of Chevy aside.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. And the other day he was listening to Fantomas, or however you say it.
And today he's listening to the Phantasm soundtrack.
No. That's close, though.
What?
No.
What would that be like?
Have you ever heard of a band called The Secret?
Uh-uh.
I think they must be a huge secret, because he was listening to that Monday, and I've never... Oh, we're not supposed to talk about that. Today he's listening to some good old-fashioned punk rock.
Okay, let me guess.
Okay.
Casualties.
Nope. Got a guess? It's an acronym name. With dots.
Oh, I'll just go
Blink 182.
DRI's first album. I'll go DRI's first album. Like.
Nope. You're close because you had three letters. MDC.
And
he's listening to Millions of Dead Cops.
You know, I played with those guys once.
I know. Me too, at the same time.
I know.
I played with him twice.
I've used that for star power before.
Yeah.
To get some points from chicks.
Didn't you also open for that other well-known classic?
Yeah, T-O-L.
T-S-O-L.
T-S-O-L.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I've used both of those to get some points towards
pussy?
A punk chick.
Wasn't that when
and,
I was trying to weasel in on your guys' band?
Yeah.
And I never even... I never even really listened to those guys back then.
See, now, usually I'll say what's in my CD player or what's, you know, I've been listening to a lot of Zappa lately, but I turned on Pandora the other day, which sometimes does me well and sometimes it doesn't. But I put it on shuffle. Boy, it was the best DJ ever. It's rolling.
I saw that. That's cool.
Brutal Truth, right into Helmet, right into some, like, Doug Stanhope, and then some Cheech and Chong came later and some Caius. And
what's the opposite of brutal? Like, if you were going to, brutally honesty,
gentle.
Right, is what it, you know?
Genteel.
So, if you,
gentle.
Brutal truth is assuming brutal honesty.
Gentle.
So, what would be the opposite of brutal honesty? How would you let someone down easy?
Brutal truth, the opposite of brutal truth or brutal honesty?
Well, the opposite of the whole kind of thing.
I'd say
like
gentle.
The brutal part of, in relation to
I'd say
telling.
Gentle lies.
Gentle lies.
Because that way you lie to them as so you don't hurt their feelings, so you're being gentle about it.
Could you do Brutal Truth covers in an acoustic, maybe jazzy manner?
Gentle eyes.
With maybe like a...
No existence.
You got to have a keyboard. You got to have like a keyboard and an acoustic guitar. And that's all you got, a piano and a keyboard guitar.
Oh.
Hey, after that...
Not a keyboard guitar.
A keytar?
Well, you could... But
we've almost got Hans
want to call
talking
that
to play a keytar.
Like,
we're going to have Hans do a keytar solo.
Dude, that would be awesome. And you know what? He answered about the coffin, Lance.
He said he would play in a coffin if he could have a chair in there and sit down in it.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So you're wondering what's in my CD player?
Yeah, what's in Lance's CD player?
Metal Church's first album.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Bringing it back.
I like Gods of Wrath.
I saw you had... You were tagged in a celebrity post.
Yeah, are you going
to... Track.
Kevin Sharp tagged you in a photo.
Yeah.
Why? How?
I thought you did that.
No.
No?
He did that.
What?
Yeah.
He said tagged by you, though.
Oh, did it? Then Dan must have done it.
Yeah, because I friend requested him, and I'm like excited. Now it's like one of my top three celebrities that I have
so
on
So did
Facebook.
You contact him to see if you can order one of those 8-tracks?
I was thought about it, but
there's
like...
There's only 50 of them.
You know how I'm all weird about that stuff.
Dude,
dude,
like,
he's
it.
A total cool guy.
I
just
can't believe
it.
It's like actually his
he
Facebook,
said,
like
yeah.
him with this
he,
kid or whatever.
He said it's going to be available, and I didn't know if he was serious because...
When I friend
he
requested
made an
him,
8-track.
When I friend requested him, I sent a little message that said, I saw you up in Portland with Venomous Concept, and you were working the booth there, and we said, how's it going? You're like, oh, keeping it real, you know, because there was like 4 people or whatever.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, great, thanks for the support, you know, so...
He
I'm
said
sure.
that it was also going to come out in a large floppy disk to play on the computer.
To play on the computer.
Maybe they'll put it on Laserdisc, too.
I wouldn't doubt it, because, I mean, after all, he did publish it on an 8-track.
They're going retro.
Well, I wondered, because I saw it was one of 50. Like, I thought
Do
maybe it.
It
was old. Like,
no.
All right, now I'm
it looks new,
In
dude.
Time is new, dude.
Now I'm
going to
contact him.
Yeah, it's only been out about a year or two.
I guess I'll just Facebook Kevin Sharp. It's no big deal.
Yeah, just say, hey, Kev. This is
Kev.
Lance from Victims.
Well, you know he wants to give you, you know, he wants to sell them.
He's like, yeah, I remember your band. I used to want to do a show with Victims of Internal Decay.
Yeah, you guys played Killed My Family.
Somebody put your disc on our tour bus one time, and we listened to Victims all summer.
Yeah.
You'd all be right. like,
I know.
What?
I'd probably be, be over at that point.
Here's a segment we haven't done since last week. Terry, give me 30 seconds on your shirt starting now.
Stormcrow is a crusty, punkish, crusty band from Oakland, California that I got to see with...
The Raiders.
Yob, yes, and Coffins. Speaking of Hans playing Coffins as a Japanese thrash band, their bass player had the biggest, best tool belt ever. I don't
better
know why.
Than Batman?
He was Japanese, and he had this tool belt.
Better than Batman?
Better than Batman. And Stormcrow, they're a good band. They all got dreadlocks, and they smell like beer and Jägermeister
breath. Do they sound like crows?
No. They sound like a crusty kind of punk doom metal band. They go slow, and they go fast, and they just don't care. And that was about 60 seconds. So sorry
no, that was actually a 45, so I'm deducting a 15-second penalty on you.
Damn it!
Okay. All right, Lance, would you like to take a shot?
All right.
30 seconds on your... Sweatshirt.
Since I'm wearing the same shirt I was wearing last week, I'm going to go with my sweatshirt.
Sweatshirt.
Which is Poison Idea wore all the time, which is my second favorite Poison Idea album. So good. Every song good. You should pick it up, people.
Now, how much of a deduction is there? Even?
Yeah, that was, yeah.
You
yeah,
get a deduction. Seconds? No, that was like,
that was like 14.
Oh, so he got more of a deduction yeah, than I did. Yeah.
You have to go over the 30-second mark, but the closest to the 30-second mark wins.
Okay. So I'm a winner?
Yep.
Chicken dinner. Yep. So if anybody
that's
is
how you a play a game with no rules.
Heavy metal drummer out there, or a punk rock drummer, Poison Idea is looking for a drummer. They've had several inquiries from out of state and out of the country even, mm-hmm. and they said that'd be great to have a hired gun, but they're looking for someone that lives in their hometown that can practice with them regularly. And they're going to be holding auditions.
Pat.
Yeah.
Come on.
Go play drums for Poison Idea.
I want to meet Jerry A.
Could you
please.
Imagine? Well, you could meet him through Jeff. Yeah. No problem. They were talking. He got his record player back
in
action.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that.
He's like, so we're hanging out and I'm playing all this stuff. And Jerry A. throws on CCR.
Throwing on some weird shit. Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. I got.
What do you got?
Here's a new segment I like to call Casting Call.
All right.
So, the Food Network is casting for the Great Food Truck Race. You know what that is?
Yes, no. I do.
You go on there with a team of you and two buddies.
You and two.
You and two buddies. And, not YouTube buddies, but
YouTube
you
buddies.
And two buddies. And you have a master plan of what you're gonna do with the truck, you know, and then they set you up with the truck and then you compete and by the end of the race, you know, they eliminate one at a time. They give the truck to one of those teams and money. All right.
That's cool.
So, but you have to have like a concept of what you would do with your food truck, right? A food concept. So what I'm asking is, what would be, your food, truck concept? Have you ever thought about like what would be cool to have in a food truck? Be it sandwiches or soups or,
pizza.
Tacos or pizza. What would you do with the, what would you do with the pizza truck to make it like
the pizza
cool?
truck? I'd adorn it with fake pepperonis and pineapples on the side.
Oh, you could have dingleberries with like pepperonis hanging down off the little thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and instead of just having the decal on the side, it would be actually like 3D pieces of fake pepperoni that
And you could slice off giant chops.
Jeez.
That could cover the whole pizza in one slice of pepperoni. Why doesn't anybody ever do that?
Whoa.
That would be a pile of grease under that thing.
That's why. That's why.
You'd have to poke holes in the crust.
You know, I'm going
to
give this one off to Lance because I wouldn't be interested in having a food truck.
Well, no, okay. Well, I was going to ask you both.
Since tacos are my favorite food, I would go
taco truck.
Everything tacos.
But would you only operate on Tuesdays? Because Taco Tuesdays, right?
That would be the special day. That would be the three for a dollar day.
Ooh.
Three Taco Tuesday.
And I would be hard to stay away from innuendo with the whole taco thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is that restaurant called the Pink Taco. Yeah. I mean, that guy, it's like a 4 or 5 star restaurant.
Okay, would you serve fish tacos in your taco truck?
Lance likes
I probably would because taco. I love shrimp tacos are so good. Jesus.
But you'd have to make it, though. You would have to make, I mean, you would have to go into this truck thinking that this is the cuisine that I'm going to have to cook every day.
Right. Well, I love the ladies, so I'd be down to do it.
I love the ladies.
All right. Maybe, you know, I was thinking maybe like a fried meatball, like in a dough. Kind of like, that's what I was thinking, just a pizza,
pizza ball truck.
Just a pizza ball truck. Just like a pizza or different flavors. You could have like the barbecued pork. You could have like a ham and cheese.
Everything
you know, it'd
balls.
Be like a little pizza
pocket. You call
pocket,
it everything balls.
A little pizza pocket in a ball.
Balls for days.
Drop it. Yeah.
You could have corn dog balls.
Balls. balls that are actually
what
good. How
had,
about that?
What if you had
balls that you would want to eat? Balls that you would want to eat.
Steak balls.
Corn dogs where you put like herbs and seasonings inside the breading to give it a nice flavor with a nice locally made sausage on the inside.
Bacon balls. I would have a bacon truck.
Dragon
I just decided.
Balls.
There you go.
Everything bacon.
No, just make bacon and serve it on a tray.
I'd throw it into
slice.
A sandwich. I would throw it into a taco.
That's
I would
so
throw it into.
Just have
bacon.
A tray of sell it for 50 cents a slice, and then you can buy bread or a taco
or
whatever
pita.
For a buck.
So you
How
can have
a
burger or a sandwich.
How about a gluten free
or a
pita?
Salad or a cookie, but whatever it is, it's got bacon in it.
Yeah,
bacon cookie.
All right, lock it in.
Dude, I love it. A bacon and chocolate cookie would be fucking awesome.
I'm trying that when I get home. Maple bacon and chocolate chip cookie.
But make the ooh, yeah, cookie chocolate. Do you like a chocolate cookie? Like chocolate
kinda,
chip?
Yeah.
Not chocolate chip. But
chocolate cookie. I like a chocolate.
The thing is chocolate.
Right. That's all right.
You need really milk with it, though, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
But Lance, you don't like milk, do you?
I think it's weird to drink another mammal's juice.
So what do you eat with? What do you drink?
You don't
with
drink milk
cookies
at all?
No.
No, he's a
not
moo.
Even with cookies.
That almost sounded like he said moo.
What?
Not, moo.
Not even with cookies?
I eat cookies, but
you eat ice cream?
Well, what do you do with how do you enjoy a nice glass of cold something with your cookies?
Mm.
What do you drink with your cookies to like wash it down?
I just eat cookies cuz I like them. Cookies kick
I know,
ass.
But what do you use to wash them down to like
beer,
water or beer or right. Powerade?
Right. Powerade.
I only drink like four things. I drink beer, water, coffee, vodka, Powerade. That's all.
That's pretty cool. And he eats chicken. And
the occasional Mountain Dew.
Chicken and tater tots.
Yep. Yeah, chicken tater.
I had a funny thing. Jerry Murphy came to the show last Saturday, and he said, yeah, sorry I'm kind of late, but my girlfriend was kind of sick. So I made her some chicken strips, and now she's feeling a little bit better. I said, aren't you supposed to make chicken soup? And he's like, what'd I say? I said you made her some chicken strips because she was sick. It's supposed to be chicken soup. He's like, that's what I made was chicken soup, but I guess I had chicken strips on the brain. I said, I thought it was funny that he.
You know how to make a chicken strip?
You throw a dollar at it?
Yep, that's it. Give it a dollar.
Speaking of chicken stripping, we should probably get to the celebrity birthdays before I forget.
Oh, sure.
I was going to try to give this one away by my demeanor of my speaking.
William Shatner?
Yes!
Fred Armiston.
He got it already. It's William
Herman
Shatner's
Munster.
Birthday. No, you don't want to go by the road. It's taking many kiddies and a few children as well.
What do you think of Pet Sematary, Lance?
Sometimes dead is
what?
Better.
Pet Sematary, the movie.
The first one's freaking scary as hell. Actually.
Sometimes dead is better. You don't want to bury them up there, I tell you. Sometimes they come back and it's not the same. We were talking about that the other day.
I know.
Hey, let's bury the kid up there. Why not?
You don't want to bury a kid up there.
I like that.
Pet was fucked up. The kid will be fine.
Yeah, and then he tried to take his wife up there. She just died. It's okay.
They're not always good when they come back, you know.
Yeah, they're not the same. It's not the same person.
Actually, that's a great show.
You ain't gonna take the cat up there and bury it, are you?
I was blown away by the age of William Shatner. How old do you think this man is?
80 motherfucking 7.
74, I'll go.
Whoa, that's a big range between the two of you. I think you're both about the same as closest. No, you're closest. He's 82.
Yeah, he's over 80.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't know that. He don't look it, really. I mean,
if you look at his eyes, are always watering and red, man. They're
oh, he's
just like,
fucking smokes
he's
a lot.
Into whatever he's doing.
Rocket Man.
Have you ever watched that? He had that interview show for a while where it'd sit down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a
and
great
it had,
show.
Had those chairs that were connected.
Yeah, the weird
dude,
the
it was
back-to-back
chairs. It was like the... We must talk. It's my conversation chair.
He's like, I'm going to ask you a very personal question right now.
Yeah, that was a good show.
He'd lean so far
Do you mind
in.
If I get into this? And then
Dude, did you see the one where Rush Limbaugh was on there?
No.
That was funny. He talked about his little plastic little radio he got when he was like 3 that he loved, and he would... That's where it all started.
That's funny.
That was fucking hilarious.
Also, birth today... don't really care that much about her, but she was the most notable celebrity besides William Shatner. Reese Witherspoon, she's kind of cute, kind of hot. She's been in a couple good movies.
You
I
know
liked
her spoon's
in,
all withered, though, right?
Yeah, she's it's gross, dude. Her spoon is withered. Yeah.
She's been in a couple good movies? Like what?
Freeway. Freeway was a good one.
I haven't seen
don't
that.
Don't remember it.
I'm not talking Legally Blonde or any of those crappy movies. No, she played in Freeway where she was this psycho bitch and she had Kiefer Sutherland and she shot him in the head because he was going to do sex to her. Are you that rapo, Bob? Do you know Jesus, Bob? She's holding the gun to his head. It's a good movie if you ever want to check it out.
What about Bandits? Did you like that movie?
It was filmed in Oregon. Billy Bob Thornton.
Do you think when a chick has to play a psycho that
Bruce
she has
Willis?
To really dig down deep and find that inner psycho, or does it
no,
come naturally?
It just comes naturally. It's like Courtney Love playing Larry Flint's wife.
They
it's
just,
a
they
stretch.
Just, they just film her, and after a couple weeks, they just keep the footage.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it for celebrity birthdays, but we've got a couple family members of mine celebrating birthdays. Donna, my mother, my stepmom, actually, 70 years old today.
Oh,
sorry,
yeah.
Mom, for outing you on that, but You made it past Dio's age, at least. And my former stepdaughter of sorts, Rochelle Province, turns 25 today. Man,
happy
I can't
birthday.
Do that. I was raising her when she was like 10. I'm old. She's got two kids. Stop growing up, you guys.
I have a trivia question for you.
I got an answer.
All right. I'm going to tell you that the answer you've already said today.
What?
Who was the first person to know about Michael Bublé's baby?
Who the fuck is Michael Bublé?
I know he's a Kernest.
Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, I should have known the answer to that. Like, how stupid am I?
Walk the Line, what about that movie she was in?
I thought she did all right in that.
That's probably my favorite of her.
Yeah. Well,
besides the Aerosmith video.
So that there you go. She was in two good movies at least. One of them was Walk the Line.
She was going to be in Men Are from Mars.
She's an Oscar
Women
winner, too,
Venus.
By the way.
Wow, I didn't even know that was going to be a movie.
She was in a movie called Monsters vs. Aliens, Mutant Pumpkins from Outer Space.
I bet that was really good.
That sounds good.
Four Christmases. I've heard things about that movie.
Dude, you could list Reese Witherspoon movies for a full hour. I'm sure she's been in.
No, I'm not going to.
I don't want you to.
She was on The Simpsons as Greta Wolfcastle.
Yeah, that lady was a bitch.
A Little Nicky.
I couldn't get that movie.
American Psycho.
I like that movie.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Cruel Intentions.
That was okay.
Ooh, that was a
what
good
about
show,
Pleasantville?
Oh, she played that 50s housewife.
That
right.
That
I don't
good
remember
show.
Ever watching it.
I'll give
Tom
that a
Arnold
good
in that?
Maybe.
I don't know. Let's stop focusing on Reese.
No, I'm just naming movies. I'm just naming movies that.
Let's
I
focus
recognize.
On Reese's.
These are pieces that
you
she's done,
Lawrence
right?
And Dove. Did you ever
so
watch
these are
Lawrence
Reese's
Dove?
Pieces?
Yep. Did you ever watch
New
Lonesome
segment.
Dove series?
Lonesome Dove. No, but I have a friend who loves it.
All right. Did you ever read a Louis L'Amour novel?
No. No. Never read a Louis L'Amour bookie either. Navi. You ever read a Louis L'Amour Navi?
He was like, he wrote romance novels, didn't he?
No,
like
he wrote
westerns.
Westerns. Yeah, but there was always like raping chicks.
This seems
shit,
like
though.
One of them. This seems
there
like,
was. There was always like he was raping women. And
I thought it was more Brokeback
this
Mountain.
Seems like one of them shows that, first of all, we haven't talked about butts at all, have we? And this is the first time I've been on, we haven't talked about butts.
Yeah, we didn't want to run that into the ground. Yeah. We didn't want you to think that this was just a butt.
Right. I'm going
to
ask you a question, Lance, and I don't want you to lie, but do you like big little butts?
Do I like what?
Big butts.
I thought you said big little butts.
I actually do not. I like small
don't lie.
Butts. No, I
like small little butts,
and
I cannot
lie.
Those fat bitches can fuck off. Oh, wait.
She's just a Bremaloo.
What's that?
She means she's from Bremerton. She's just a Bremaloo, because that's where all the, I don't know, I guess that's where all the big
well,
girls are.
Well, Pajama People are going to be playing in Bremerton coming up.
Yeah.
So maybe
there's
going to
be a lot of Bremaloos.
Awesome.
Which nice. Is a Bremerton slut, is what I heard. I didn't know
that.
All right.
Well, you got anything else? I think we could wrap up anytime.
Have else.
Oh, shit. What do you got? Lance has a job now, you know.
A yob.
He's got a yob. I am yob.
Hey,
you
got any other parting thoughts on that? Any of those SNL skits from Timberlake last week?
I liked the episode in its entirety, but I didn't really. It was a little too musicy. A lot of music singing.
I thought
in all the
five
skits.
Host club thing was hilarious.
Yeah, that was good.
What about
and the dating game was
the
pretty funny.
Gum.
Yeah,
the dating gum. You got any dating gum?
Yeah, you ever read a novel by a gay dating?
Not Louis L'Amour.
Louis L'Amour.
Hey, Louis.
You like Huey Lou?
Lilala.
That's funny.
Do you ever listen to Huey Lou?
Oh, no. God, no.
Did you used to look?
No,
listen?
Never, 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 never.
Are you just singing that because you're
no,
on the internet?
No,
never,
no,
never,
no,
never.
No.
How about?
I don't like music like that.
I was walking down a one-way street.
No.
Just a fucking puppet.
Nope.
Dude, it's so hip to be square.
Never, ever, 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 ever.
Or is it square to be hip? I forgot.
Baby, please never. Tell me. I want to love you all over. You don't remember when Forrest Dolls Fall did Huey Lewis cover?
I remember that. We played with them at the Calipuyan.
Hard Rock and Roll is still beating.
You know, I almost started a Facebook blog for you the other day and then abandoned it like I do.
What?
I was going to a shirt a week. Based on our 30-second shirt segment.
Shirt a week?
Yeah.
Don't do it, dude. I'll just take a picture of my
ooh,
shirt.
I'd probably change
well, my I declined against it. Well, that would have been fun.
I'm going to take a
picture and post
it. How about a shirt a day?
That's fine. I just thought it would have been a solid idea.
Here
all
you
right,
go.
People might.
All right, I'm doing it. You how about start... a shard a day?
Oh,
dude,
that makes sure you change your underwear every day.
You know, that sounds like something people would be into, and I'd start that aside. But that would mean I'd have to look at it every day.
That's someone with a lisp. He says, "I'm doing it on shard a day."
Maintaining daily blogs.
I won't do it tomorrow, but I'll do it on Saturday.
Saturday?
One Saturday. One Saturday. Now, I don't know. You could start a Facebook that went, what shirt are you wearing today? And people could just post pictures of
what shirt.
Well,
I think it would eventually lead to that, but it would need somebody to drive content until it got to that point.
Fuck that.
I know. That's why I didn't start it, because I didn't want to take responsibility to have to post every day.
You're such an irresponsible page starter.
I know. Hey, I don't know, but hey, I took the first step. I didn't make it.
BaconClub.com, ClubBacon.com. You guys own them all.
That was fucking funny.
ShitFuck.com, FuckShit.com. Do you own that one? FuckShit.com?
No, but I'll look at it for
How about FuckIt.com?
I got a few more I can't say because I'm going to be buying them. I'm looking for a site for my novelty website.
RevoltingCunt.com.
Thinking about maybe just using the Fly Jelly one. Fly Jelly Novelties, is that... Fly Jelly. It's something that's funny, like R2 McPhee. I don't want to throw out a competitor, but I just did.
Whoa.
That's a novelty site, well known, by
the
way.
I'm done.
Yeah, well, it is a competitor, but something, you know, it should be something funny like that, because that's how, well, maybe even the Sporky McFoon, maybe I'll bring that back.
Yeah.
Sporky.
Sporky McFoon? Dude, are you just making stuff up now?
Yeah. No, I've had Sporky McFoon in my library of thoughts for a long time. It's up there with Spartakai, dude.
Dustin McGatch. Silverware.
Dude.
I'm gonna dust it all over your gatcho.
Dusty Mitch Gatchel silverware.
Maybe something with gatch in there.
Please don't steal our ideas, you guys. We'll fucking kill you. Thanks for listening on a Friday, you guys. We kept you hanging around a little longer than normal, and we hope you enjoy it. Maybe we'll start doing 2.5 hour shows.
There is no time limit to our fun.
Oh no, dude! That one guy, you made a weird podcast, P. Holmes or whatever his name is. He does 2.5 hours almost every episode.
Yeah.
Just blah 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 blah.
You can
blah,
listen blah, as blah. Long as you want. I mean, if you want only listen for an hour, only listen for an hour.
There's a pause button too.
There's a pause button in there. There's a stop button.
And if you listen on Stitcher and then you stop and you come back, it'll say resuming episode, and it starts right where you left off.
Nice.
You're only going to miss the best part of the episode when you turn it off.
That's right. Yep. So don't ever turn it
Gems
off.
Gems are around every corner.
That's right. Stick around for plugs afterwards, and thanks, Lance, for being here again.
No problem.
Yeah, thanks for the
bear
the stories.
I'll be appearing with Griefhammer here pretty soon, and also...
The TagCast podcast can be heard on iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn Radio,
and our website,
TagCastPodcast.com.
You can also hear us rebroadcast on internet radio station Rock Out Radio on Friday evenings. Find us on Facebook and review us on iTunes.
Help support our show. Donate directly on our website.
Or click on our Amazon affiliate link before you shop there.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Pluggy plug 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 plug. Hey, Taggets. You looking for something fun to do? I hope so, because you don't want to just sit at home all the time like you've been doing. What? Friday, March 22nd at Diablo's Downtown Lounge, we got Alice in Chains Tribute Sick Man with Electric Funeral, which is a acoustic metal tribute band. And Strange Dichotomy wrapping up the show. It's a 9 o'clock show. It's 21 and over. Probably like $5 the door. March 23rd, that's a Saturday night, up in Portland at the Hawthorne Theater, we got Nile, Ceremonial Castings, World of Lies, and Heathen Shrine, a great black death metal show, black and death metal show, whatever you want to call it. Go see it. We got a Doom show at the Ash Street Theater on, Ash Street Saloon on March 26th with Graves at Sea from Arizona, Aldebaran from Portland. Also have Ashbor and Ephemeris appearing at that show. Probably like $5 or $10 at the door. I'm not too sure. Check it out online for details. AshStreetSaloon.com. Wednesday, March 27th at Cosmic Pizza. It's Pajama People featuring Ike Willis, a tribute to Frank Zappa. I don't have ticket information, but I think you should go check that out. I will be playing a few songs with them. Maybe come give me some support on that. If you love Frank Zappa, you just go for that reason. Thursday, March 28th at the Granary Pizza. Comedy as Advertised with your host Seth Milstein And I will be doing a set there, as well as about six or seven other comics. I don't have the lineup yet, but it's a free show. It starts at 9 o'clock. It's at 5th and Pearl in Eugene. March 29th at the Crystal Ballroom, it's Anthrax, Exodus, Municipal Waste, Holy Grail, and High on Fire for a thrash metal extravaganza. Dave Forsythe got some VIP tickets for us, so we're going to go check that out. Hope to see you up there. Saturday, March 30th, it's the Oregon's Last Comedian Standing third round qualifying rounds. I'll be involved in that. It's at 2222 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Eugene at the City, inside Kowloon's Restaurant out by Autzen Stadium. Come out and support me. It's all audience votes, and if I win, I'll give you $5 or something. Or maybe I won't. I don't know. Sunday, March 31st, another comedy contest going on at the Actors Cabaret of Eugene, the 18th annual Eugene Laugh-Off. Me and 19 other comics will be vying for Eugene's Funniest Person. That's $20 for tickets, but all proceeds go to the Green Hill Humane Society, so you could save a dog or something. 18 and over, it's a 7 p.m. show. That's at 966 Willamette in Eugene. Thursday, April 4th, Comedy at the Cock with Jesse Priest. That's the Peacock in Corvallis downstairs. We got Xander Devereaux, Trevor Thorpe, Enrico Ott, your host Jesse Priest. I might do a guest set there if I'm available. And also your headliner, Paul J. Sunday, April 21st, is the third annual Doug Benson 420 show. It's always a day late with him. That's at the Wow Hall in Eugene on 421. Doug Benson live at the Wow Hall. No Means No is coming to Hawthorne Theater for any of your old school fans who like that band. They're back touring. They'll be at the Hawthorne Theater on April 26th up in Portland. What do we got left in April? The 28th, we got Bleepin' Funny, a clean comedy show at Sam Bond's Garage with Leanne Jashaway and Seth Milstein, myself, and many others for a clean comedy night. It's 8 p.m. show, 21 over. It's free. Come out to that and laugh with us. And then finally, May 18th, Cannibal Corpse, Napalm Death, Immolation, and a few other bands at the Wonder Ballroom in Portland. I want to go to that because I missed Napalm the last time. So there's plenty of stuff for you guys to go do. Please go out and do something. Support local entertainment, whether it be comedy or music. And then when you come home, you can listen to another episode of the TagCast Podcast here at tagcastpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, you guys. Peace out.
The heart of rock and roll is your beating.
Hulu? Hulu. Huey Lewis is not coming to town.